is beginning to rain, rain, rain to the voice of our Father. Saying, whosoever will come drink of this water, I promise to pour my spirit out on your sons and your daughters. If you're thirsty and dry, look up to the sky. It's beginning to rain.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars, inviting you to worship with us today at Bible Home Church, coming to you from Austin, Texas.
This is Jerry Barrett, the pastor's assistant here at Bible Home Church. Please remember that Bible Home Church operates solely through your love gifts, tithes, and offerings. You can mail a check or money order to Bible Home Church, 5200 Evidence Cove, Evidence Cove, Spicewood, Texas, 78669. Don't forget to send in your prayer requests as well. We will be happy to add you to our prayer list, and we greatly appreciate your prayers for us. This week, we conclude the series, Ways of the Serpent. We pray that you will receive a blessing from Pastor Mars's message. Up next is The Desert Airs with Jesus Signed My Pardon, after which we will begin Pastor Mars's sermon.
I was in sin's prison, oh so dark and cold, like a lost sheep wandering from God's eternal fold. Then the heavens opened, Jesus said to me, I have signed your pardon, you may now go free.
Jesus signed my pardon, this I surely know. He took my place at Calvary, now I won't have to go. All my life I'll give him, he gave his for me. When he signed my pardon, there at Calvary.
Yes, Jesus signed my pardon, this I surely know. He took my place at Calvary, now I won't have to go. All my life I intend to give him, 'cause he gave his for me. Yes, Jesus signed my pardon that day at Calvary.
Jesus signed my pardon, this I surely know. He took my place at Calvary, now I won't have to go. All my life I'll give him, he gave his for me.
Years ago, I was in the Air Force, had a friend of mine. I thought he was a good friend. He was a staff sergeant. I was a tech sergeant at the time before I became an officer. He was a black man, Afro-American, I guess you'd call it. We were good friends. We were in the same career field. But I noticed that every time we would go to the dining hall, you know, the Air Force call it the dining hall, chow hall, whatever you want to call it. We were overseas, you see, and we were that without our families. We were all on this base. There were about 3,000 airmen. But we would go to the dining hall. He would go over sit with the black guys. And, you know, we'd go to the dining hall together, but when he got his food, he would go sit at the table with the black guys. So I thought that was very strange. The very first time I went to eat with the guy for lunch. So I took him aside. I said, hey, listen, Bill, I want to ask you something. What's your problem here? You don't invite me to come eat with the guys. Oh, I don't think you're going to be welcome there. I said, really, why not? Well, he had an explanation for it. He said, you see, we black people have been discriminated against for so many years. I said, yes. And I want to demonstrate to my black friends that I'm free of racism. That's why I sit with them and not whites. Huh? He won't sit with whites. All the blacks get together and sit by themselves away from the whites to prove that they're free of racism. So you become a racist to prove that you're not a racist. That's what I told him. He said, well, you just don't understand. You haven't gone through the indignities we have as blacks over the years. I said, oh, I'm going through them right now. You're supposed to be my friend. We work together, same career field and all that. But when we go out to eat, there's blacks. You go eat with the blacks. You won't eat with me. You don't invite me to eat with the blacks. I don't mind eating with black people. It's not going to rub off on me. You're a prejudiced person. You're discriminating against me and all your other black friends do too. Well, but you know, y'all have excluded us for all those years. What do you mean y'all? I'm not y'all. I'm Tex Mars. What have I done to you but be your friend? Well, yeah, well, you are my friend. Oh, no, I said, no, you're not my friend, Bill. You're sort of a fake friend. You're sort of a pseudo friend. Look at what the American government says. We believe in Equal Opportunity Act. We've even passed legislation to guarantee equal opportunity. And under our Equal Opportunity Act, if you're a black person or a Mexican, a brown-skinned person, you'll get quotas. You'll get favored treatment. You'll get something called affirmative action. Even if you score lower, even if you're a lesser quality employee, you'll be promoted over the white person. Well, that's equal opportunity. No, it's not. It's double-mindedness. It's implanting the double mind. I was at a conference, and I mentioned to a man who didn't agree with me about Judaizers and the Jews. I said, you know, there's a new book out by a rabbi, a Jewish rabbi named Sadia Grama. It's called On the Exalted Nature of Israel. On the Exalted Nature of Israel. And this rabbi writes his book and says, yes, it's true. We Jews are a superior race. We're exalted. It's a race-based theory of Jewish supremacy. He's a Jewish supremacist. He's written a book about it, this rabbi. I asked the Christian friend of mine, so-called friend, because he came up to my booth there and was talking to me. He said, I don't agree with you about Israel, though. I said, well, let me tell you about this new book out by Rabbi Sadia Grama. And I told him about it. What do you think about that? He says, it sounds like a good book. I agree with it. Do you? Yes. Yeah, I think Jews are God's chosen. They are superior. So you don't believe that all people are equal in God's eyes? Oh, yes, they are. Yes, they are. Well, you just said the Jews are superior. Well, yes, that's because they're God's people. But everybody's equal. Wait. Shut up! Are you insane? Don't you hear what you're saying? God has created all people equal. Whosoever will may come. God's knocking at the door of every person's heart, whether they're black or white or brown or Chinese or whatever. But he's made one race superior. In what way are they superior? Well, they're God's chosen. I said, chosen for what? Well, you know. No, I don't know. Well, they're just superior. It's all right to be a Jewish supremacist. I said, no. Do you know that in the book of Acts in the Bible, I said, sir, that the apostle Paul wrote and he said, out of one blood, God made all the people on the face of planet Earth out of one blood. You're a bigot. Well, I'm a Gentile. I can't be a bigot. Yeah, because you make of Jews supremacists. You agree with them. You're a bigot. You're a racist.
I can't believe you're saying that, Mr. Morris.
Well, it's so plain. You're a racist. Couldn't quite figure out what I was saying. Because he has had the double mind implanted by Jewish propagandists over the years, and he doesn't read the clear meaning of the Bible, which says that Abraham was to be a father of many nations in Genesis. And it says the promise is Jesus Christ, the inheritance of salvation through Jesus. That is the promise. And Jews don't have it if they've rejected Christ. It's as plain as my nose or my face, but people don't get it because they're double-minded. Now think of this.
We need to stop people from taking drugs. But you heroin addicts, we'll give you free needles at the health clinics. Huh?
Free needles to make sure they're clean.
Teens, we don't want you to practice sex, but we'll give you free condoms at schools, at our health clinics.
Illegals, we don't want you to come into America. We have laws against it. But on the other hand, we'll provide you with maps and water and food and show you the pathway to get here. And when you get here, illegal aliens, we'll give you free medical care, social security, welfare, free education, all the government benefits. But of course, you shouldn't really be here because that's illegal. That's against our law. But once you get here, we'll give you all these freebies. That's double-minded. Arabs are double-minded. In Afghanistan, the Taliban are immoral. They hate women. They do these terrible things. We're going to get rid of the Taliban, so we invade. It cost hundreds and hundreds of American lives, but we're doing a good thing. We're getting rid of those evil, immoral Taliban. So now, what is Afghanistan's number one crop? Their number one in this industry? They make heroin. They plant the poppies. And the American soldiers are over there to make sure it gets planted properly, I suppose. Nobody's doing anything about it. The Taliban had closed down the poppy agricultural fields. They said heroin, mind-control drugs, destroy lives, said the Taliban, who were Muslims. We oppose drugs in the Muslim world. If you plant poppies and heroin, we'll put you to death. So you know what? The farmers didn't have heroin and poppies growing. But when the Americans came back and kicked out the Taliban, they began growing all their poppy fields again, making a lot of money, and now they're the world's number one source of heroin with the approval of the American authorities.
Because after all, we don't want the people mad at us. They won't be on our sides if we don't let them grow poppy.
Double-minded. We got rid of the immoral Taliban and we brought back the immoral drug dealers. And we're overseeing the whole shebang. Everywhere you go, there's double-mindedness in America.
Alcohol is bad for you. We'll set up alcohol rehab programs. Alcohol could make you an alcoholic.
But that's why there's a liquor store on every corner. And that's why the government taxes alcohol. Hey, when you buy a fifth of this or that, I don't know how much, but I'm told that at least a third or more goes to the government. They're profiting off of people's alcoholic behavior and their ruined lives.
Tobacco can kill you. The Surgeon General says it's bad, dangerous cancer causing.
That's why I recently read a headline. The Defense Department says they're upset because they discovered that they had not ordered enough tobacco for their troops overseas. The troops in Afghanistan and Iran, Iraq, are unhappy because they haven't been provided enough tobacco, enough cigarettes. But wait, tobacco is a killer. But we're worried that the troops aren't getting enough tobacco.
Move over to music. I understand the white guy who pretends to be black named Eminem, he does these rap songs. I had a young Christian man told me, he says, Eminem's a good guy. He's really a good guy. He's almost a Christian. Well, he really is a good guy, Tex Morris. I love rock. I love rap music. And Eminem's, he's straight, man. He's good.
Really? Then I find out that this Eminem has a song out, and let me give you one of the lyrics of it. It's a song that he's singing to his mother. Isn't that wonderful? Here it is. Get ready.
Take the kids out of the room. I'm going to read you one line from this song by this Eminem, this top rap star that this supposed young Christian youth told me was such a wonderful role model. He sings, this Eminem sings this, quote, "Bend over and take it like a slut." That's a song to his mother. Bend over and take it like a slut. Somewhere there's a disconnect here. Somewhere somebody doesn't understand that the double mind has been implanted. And by the way, it was pointed out to me by this young Christian youth, so-called, that this Eminem is so highly thought of as a composer of songs and music that a Nobel-winning poet, a Nobel Prize-winning poet, has praised him. Well, of course, I can see that. Should we all praise Eminem for lyrics like "Bend Over and Take It Like a Slut," written to his mother? Back to equal opportunity again in this double-mind, satanic world. In the book Animal Farm, George Orwell, seems the hogs had taken over the farm. But they said, first of all, we're going to kick the men out from being in charge because we want equal opportunity. Everybody is equal. All animals are born equal. But before long, the hogs had taken it over. They were running things. They were lording it over everybody. They hogged all the good stuff. So the other animals came to them and said, "I thought we were all equal. Why should y'all be in charge?" And the pigs said, "Well, we all are equal, but some are more equal than others." That's double mind. But isn't that what the government tells us with affirmative action and all these things? Here's some more. Freedom of religion is guaranteed all of American citizens. But of course, there are some people who have religious beliefs that must be curbed or prohibited entirely because they're divisive, because they offend, you know, like Christianity. Mm-hmm. So freedom of religion for all, oh yes, but except those few, double-mindedness. How about this one? Persons who commit crimes must be punished. That's right. Should be. That's our justice system. But wait, there's a little add-on here. The double mind was implanted. Well, you know, some persons must be punished in advance for the crimes they might commit. We've got to have some preemptive crime prevention. You've got to go and invade their home, invade their cars, their private effects, their websites. You've got to find out everything they're doing because they might commit crimes. Then not only that, not every crime is equal because some crimes may be given enhanced punishment if the thought was wrong, according to society. So if you kill a black man and call him, let's say, nigger while you're killing him, you might get the death penalty. But if you kill a black man, the same black man, and don't holler out nigger, then you might only get 10 years in prison because you thought bad when you were killing him. You thought nigger. You said it. You said the word nigger. Well, that should be punished more. So some crimes, even though they're equal, murder is murder. The man's dead. Your intent was bad. We're going to punish you for your intent, for what you thought when you were killing him. On the other hand, it's not as bad if a black man kills a white man and calls him honky while he's killing him, or calls him "you white devil." You know, black people have always been discriminated against all these years. At one time, over 100 years ago, they were slaves. Therefore, we're not going to have enhanced punishment for him. That's not the same thing. It's okay for him to call you a white honky while he's killing you. But you don't want to call him a black nigger while you're killing him. So we'll have different punishment. Even though everybody is equal under the law, it says on every courthouse. How about this one? All these new age Bible versions, these false Bible versions. That's why I'm a King James Bible believer. Listen to this. Have you ever heard this before? God is perfect, but his word is not perfect. Well, you know, there's errors in the Bible versions. So, you know, it doesn't matter which Bible version you use. They're all different, but it doesn't matter because they're all flawed. So now we have to understand God is perfect, but he's not perfect enough to keep his word perfect. He's all powerful, but he's not powerful enough to preserve his word. Does that make any sense? No, it's the double mind. It's a double mind. How about this one? The government tells churches, you can preach anything you want because the First Amendment guarantees freedom of religion. Oh, you're 501c3? Oh, you've been given tax-exempt status? Oh, you can't preach things that go against the government. You can't preach certain things that we don't like that you're preaching. We'll close you down. We'll take your church. We'll take your property. But always remember, Pastor, while we're taking it, that America has freedom of religion. How about this one, the Second Amendment? The right to keep and bear arms, the right of the people, shall not be infringed. Well, on the other hand, if you have all these different guns, list them all. This assault rifle, this one, this one, this one, this one, this model, this one, this barrel, this long, this barrel, this long. You can't have any of those guns. And oh, by the way, if you live in the city limits, you can't have a gun either. But of course, the people's right to bear and keep arms is not infringed by these laws. They're just enforcing reasonable statutes. It doesn't take away your rights at all. Which makes you want to say, hey, doesn't it say shall not be infringed? What part of shall not be infringed don't you understand, Mr. Government? But that's the double mind working. How about this one? No person's values are superior to another person's. Seems like that. Well, that's your value. That's what you believe, and that's fine. I believe this. No one is superior to the other. But on the other hand, now comes the double mind implanted. Some person's values are unacceptable. They're politically correct, incorrect. They must be curbed. They can't even be spoken in public. How about this one? The majority in an American system always rule. The majority rules. But then the double mind comes in. Yes, the majority rules, but only if the minority gets their way. The majority rules, but only if the minority gets its way. How about this one? To favor your own race or religion or nation is hate. To favor your own race or religion or your own nation is hate. I've heard that before. And you know what? It's hate even if you don't hate anyone. It's still hate. Isn't that sort of strange? That seems like part of the double mind. How about this one? Christian tells me he's a member of the 12 Steps Alcoholic Anonymous program. I said, well, don't you believe in Jesus? Yes. Is Jesus part of the 12 Steps? Well, no. I said, no, he's not, because the 12 Steps says you agree to worship God as you understand him. But a person can be worshiping Satan right next to you at the 12 Step meeting. Well, yeah, but yeah, what? Can two be agreed? Can two walk together lest they be agreed, said Amos? I mean, you're going to a Church of Satan meeting there, my friend. The double mind is implanted. The double mind. Bill Clinton. I didn't have sex with that woman. Yeah, we had oral relations. She used her mouth on me, but that's not really sex. Really? Did you know a Jewish rabbi said, that's right, according to our Talmud, oral sex is not adultery. It's not wrong. Yeah, well, okay. It goes on and on, these things, my friends. We have so many examples that it actually boggles the mind. Examples of double-mindedness. Well, how about global warming, climate change? There's no science to it. Nevertheless, they have injected this propaganda into our minds that global warming, man-made, exists. They have made it so that free speech requires the curbing and outlawing of certain kinds of speech. If you hurt somebody's feelings, if you offend them, if, for example, you say, hey, you know, there's more to this Holocaust than I realized, I'm going to research and find out if exactly 6 million Jews died. In Germany, they'll put you in prison for saying that. Meanwhile, the German Constitution says every German citizen is guaranteed freedom of speech. Huh? How does that work out? Everywhere we turn, we have truth turned on its end. The double mind is being planted everywhere you go. Is torture wrong? Yes, it is. And Americans do not torture, unless, of course, we suspect you of being anti-government or a terrorist, then we can torture you. The double mind. God is not a God of diversity. He is a God of unity, my dear friends. God is one, and he wants you and me to practice with a single-minded purpose and spirit. Because God is true. He is no darkness at all. He is only light. Satan says there's two ways, there's three ways, there's four ways. God says there's only truth. Believe in him, and I promise you will not fail.
And rise to the sky, it's beginning to rain.
You've been listening to Pastor Tex Mars and Bible Home Church. Please join with us in worship next week as we continue to honor the remarkable Word of God.